Let us go before the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee this hour, giving Thee thanks. We know that for each and every one who has journeyed this way, that Thou hast been merciful to them in placing that unction and desire to come out this day to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast touched the hearts of so many. We realize the trials and troubles that we have as we sojourn in this dying world, but we know that Thou art able to remove those things from us and bless us indeed to enter into that sweet worship, that we might worship Thee, O God, in a way that might be pleasing in Thy sight. Oh, we do pray for each and every heart. As these brethren come before us, dear God, we pray that Thou would bless them with that liberty, that power that comes from on high. Oh, that Thou might touch each and every heart, giving them a heart of understanding, touching their minds that those cares and troubles might be removed just for a spell, that we might be blessed to enter into that rest. Oh, that we might see Jesus high and uplifted, dear God. Oh, that Thou might be merciful to this gathering for Thy name's sake. Although we know that we have fallen short in just about every aspect of our worship to Thee, oh, let alone our journey in this time world. But we know that even in our shortness, that Thou art able, Thou art able to lift us up. And we pray that Thou will lift up each and every one. Oh, that we might be blessed to be of one accord, and that accord be to Thy praise, to Thy honor, and to Thy glory. Be with these ministering brethren, dear God. Bless them with Thy might and with Thy power that comes from on high. Make them weak, O God, that Thou might be strong, and that Thy glory will shine. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Elder Jamie Hancock, the Old Mill Primitive Baptist Church in Danville. We're so thankful to have you with us, Brother Jamie. The Lord bless you.
Enjoyed the meeting last night and enjoyed being at Brother Gary's home and the fellowship and the talking and trying the scriptures and just talking about the Lord's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
I want to thank little Happy Creek Church and all of you for your kindness, and I always look forward to coming here, and I'm glad to be here today. If you have your scriptures, turn them to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, we'll start with verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Does not your master pay tribute?" He said, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free." Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea. This is where I wanted to get. And cast a hook and take up the fish which thou first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. Jesus is telling us out of his own mouth, children of God, that he's not like us. Jesus is telling us that the children are free because of himself. Jesus is telling us a miraculous thing that we sometimes overlook in the scriptures, the little insignificant things in the Bible. You know, we come to the great parting of the Red Sea and the slaves of Egypt, of Israel, that come out of Egypt. And we see all the wonders of Moses standing and telling the children of God to be still. The Pharaoh's behind you. The sea's in front of you. The Lord is the God of Israel, so just be still. Because the salvation is coming unto you and you can't bring it. Oh, we see them walking through the wilderness 40 years and their shoes and their clothes don't wear out. We see Pharaoh brought to nothing and the whole Egyptian economy left in ruins. And we see all of this, children of God. And we sometimes miss the little insignificant things that the Lord uses. We see the great miracles in the days of Joshua, where they marched around Jericho and the walls fell flat down. What a wonderful story. But I'm telling you, children of God, it's no more wonderful than this little insignificant fish. It makes the whole story make sense. Well, how could that be? Jamie, it's a whole lot here. Absolutely it is. But I'm telling you, I need a God that's not like us. I need a God that come walking on the water, children of God. I don't need a God that's preached today that wants to hold my hand if I'll allow Him. I don't need Him to get in the water with me. I need Him to walk on the water to me. I need a God to believe in that's greater than any man, woman, father, parent, child, preacher that I've ever known. And it gives me comfort to know that He's all sufficient. So Peter, yes, we need to pay tribute. You got any change in your pocket? No. I've got this. I'm God in the flesh. I'm the miracle working God. You just go down to that lake and there's a fish there. Well, ain't that a coincidence? No, that's not the God I'm talking about. I need a God in Matthew 21:1 said, He shall save His people from their sin and not came and tried.
That's exactly
Listen,
right. He did.
You go down to that lake.
Amen.
And you're going to see a little insignificant fish. You throw your hook in. Oh, it's a whole lot there. And when you pull it out, you get the money. And that's going to be sufficient. All because of the workings of Jesus Christ and His infinite power and glory and wisdom, we are made whole. David says in Psalm 51, a man after God's own heart. Listen, David just didn't need to have a good day, children of God, when he sinned with Bathsheba. Maybe we sometimes forget that the Lord has delivered us from the second death, and the second death has no power over us. Maybe we need to, if the Lord would show us what we are by nature, we could understand what we're saved from. David just didn't need to have a better day. Have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. Withhold something from me that I should deserve, that I do deserve. Have mercy on me. Wash me thoroughly. I don't need just a little cleansing. I need to be washed thoroughly. I need to be not only saved from this earth, but children of God. As we go to one funeral after another and see the sad faces of the children of God, I want to believe in the God as much as I can in the finished work of Jesus Christ that has saved me to the uttermost, not just came and tried.
Amen.
So you go down to the lake. We're going to pay this, but listen, you just get the money. How can that be? I'm talking about a miracle working God.
Amen.
The woman, when she walked by the bier, the casket, and her son has died, she didn't need someone. She had enough people saying, listen, we're so sorry about your son. Now, when Jesus come walking up, that child rose. That's the God that I'm talking about. David said, wash me thoroughly. I've sinned against thee. I was shaping in iniquity. Purge me with hyssop. Purge me. Sometimes we as old Baptists, we forget what we've been cleansed of. Oh, Lord, deliver me whole, not just partly. Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I've got it all figured out. You need a lot of help.
Amen.
You need to look in the mirror and say, without the God of heaven that come walking on the water, and without the God of heaven that was presented to the shepherd boys there, this little babe, without the God of heaven coming to this earth, you'd have no hope.
Amen.
And he didn't just come here to make you have a good day. He came to save you. And that not only save you eternally, he saved you in time also. David says, hide not the face from my sin, the blot out all my iniquities. Oh, from time to time, children of God, Lord, take these thoughts away from me just for a little while. And man can't do that for you.
Nope.
No. Oh, we can say beautiful words. At a funeral Tuesday, I told the family these words are going to soon just perish. But I'm telling you of a God that has prepared a place for his people.
Amen.
And it's not rooms in there like the NIV says either. Not your heart be troubled. Give me a break. In my Father's house there's many mansions. Why do you want to change that? In my Father's house there's many rooms. Give me another break. It's perfect. Why change it? I try to tell the family, listen, this is a God that said, I'll prepare a place for you and I'll come again and receive you unto myself. So what I want you to believe, children of God, is that your loved one here, a marriage of 52 years, is all right.
Amen.
Because of this sufficiency of Jesus Christ in no other way. You can't buy this. If you had $1 billion, you couldn't buy it. David said, restore unto me that joy. Oh, listen. All sufficient God. I need that God like in John chapter 6. How are we going to feed this crowd, John? The Lord said, there's a little lad here.
Yeah.
What do you mean that little lad? You know, he's right over here and he's got a little small bag and he's got some fishes and loaves. The God of heaven just feeds the whole multitude there. That's the God that I'm talking about. Not waiting no man to take his hand and help him out.
Yeah.
Creating me a clean heart. O God, renew a white spirit. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Listen, children of God, as we walk through this time world, there are times when things are good and you're feeling spiritual and, you know, the church is happy, you're happy, and your wife's happy, and the children are happy, the grandkids are happy. But all those times that you wake up in the middle of the night and you cry, Lord, restore unto me just that joy, because I know that I'm the worst sinner. The Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? We've been delivered from a body of death. And he's an all-sufficient God. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Listen, children of God. The Lord God of heaven is our Savior. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend, go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the first fish that cometh up. Matthew 17:27. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money that take and give unto them for me and thee. Wonderful story. A whole lot of preaching there. But what I wanted you to see, children of God, and the God of heaven is not relying on you. I'm so glad that the Lord said in John 6:5:25, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the hour is coming and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Aren't you glad that he didn't say, and the dead shall hear the voice of the preacher or the soul winner or your saintly grandmother? Aren't you glad that's a God in heaven that can speak and you can hear?
Yes. Amen.
Dead, you'll hear the voice of the Son of God. As much as we want to give that to the preacher to populate heaven, it just don't fit.
No.
Because Jesus Christ is our Savior.
Amen.
You know, children of God, I like what Jude says. And I'll close with this. Jude chapter 3. That was used on me one time. The reason I pulled that little trick. We know Jude only has one chapter. Jude verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Listen, children of God, I need to be kept, keep from falling. Oh, if I have my, I'm glad Psalm 23 said, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Because with my old natural sinful self, if the Lord leads me for 1 second, I'll be right there where I shouldn't be. He's able to keep you from falling. Listen, children of God, I don't know how you'll leave this earth, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of his Father because his work is finished. He's able to keep you from falling, and listen, children of God, and to prevent you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Listen, I need to be presented. I cannot present myself. We think we can present ourselves with self-righteousness and our intellect, and you know, we'll help Jesus. No, no. Judas got this just exactly right. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy.
Amen.
To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power.
Now.
Both now,
yeah.
There's that time salvation.
Yes.
And ever.
And ever.
Now and ever.
Amen.
Amen. He was able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a day that will be. We talk about it, we try to believe about it, but I'm telling you, children of God, as we look in the mirror, we need to remember that Jesus Christ is all sufficient. That all the Son of God. And he says, I'll remember your sins and iniquities.
No more.
You just follow me. The Lord bless you and keep you. I'm finished.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Memberships at Northview Primitive Baptist Church. God bless you. Good to have you here, Brother Milton, again. Been a while, but it's good to have you back.
Trust I am indeed and thankful to the Lord for his mercies that he hath bestowed upon us, knowing that we're not worthy of the least of these, his blessings. Has been some years since we were here at the church, and even with the association, it's been a while, so we're enjoying the fellowship and the preaching that's gone before us. We beg an interest in your prayers. A lot of faces I have seen and don't have a name. A lot of folks that I do know from place to place, and the Lord's grace, I trust, would be with us. I'd like to read from the little epistle of John. In this epistle, John gives us a confirmation or an affirmation of the blessings that the Lord hath bestowed for his children here in the world. And it's hard to imagine for us that have families, children, grandchildren, how that the Lord is, how in the world are they going to get along when we're not here?
Yeah.
Well, thank God that He is able
Amen.
To keep right on just like He has provided for us. He says in this scripture, in the first chapter, that which was from the beginning. That which was from the beginning. And John says he wrote this in essentially the same meaning in the first chapter of the that he wrote in the epistle. He said, that which was from the beginning. In the beginning, God. Nothing before. Nothing before. Well, what about the folks that say, well, we are experts on how long the earth has been here. And then they turn around and they give you one says 13 billion years.
Yeah.
And another one says, well, 18 billion years. Remember now, this is expert. And they're only 4 billion years apart. What does that little bit make? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I marveled as I drove up through the valley.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The beautiful scenery that's there. And I thought to myself about all those saints that have lived and kept the faith and have been blessed of God to receive the beauty of His creation in this world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen, our eyes have seen, and we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. To the untrained eye, so to speak, we take God's word for what He says. We believe that God created the heavens and the earth. When we look at the scriptures and we think about the things that the Lord hath said for us, when He talked about the things that He had created and the sun and the moon, and He put them out there just by the word of His power.
Yes,
that's what He said over here in Hebrew letter. You look in that first two or three verses of the Hebrew letter, and He gives us the truth as it is. He said, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son.
Amen.
Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, when He had by Himself they said on news the other night that two previous popes had been canonized and now they can become saints. Took a long time. Paul said over there when he wrote to them brethren in Rome, he talked about those saints over there. But here's the pretty part of it. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, when He had by Himself, upholding all things, that's the part I want, upholding all things by the word of His power. When He put the moon and the sun out there and He said, stay there. And whether it's been 4 billion or 18 billion, they're still there because God said and He put them there. So when we think of the little God that we worship today according to the word, we think of those things that have been blessed of the Lord. These are not jacktails.
No.
Now I know some of y'all don't know what a jacktail is. When I was in the sixth grade, there was this teacher. And every day, right after lunch, to get our attention and get us focused on her, she would read us out of a little book called Jack's Tales. And it had all kinds of things in it. It had all manner of things in it. And I guess after listening to it that we kind of thought, well, that, you know, that was so. But let me tell you one better, and then I'll quickly revert back to this scripture. There was a man that worked at DuPont Company in Martinsville that you never could believe what he said. But he always told what he was telling so big that you knew that it wasn't the truth. He asked me one day about my garden. I told him, well, I just sowed a turnip patch. I don't know whether y'all have turnips up here or not. I just sowed a turnip patch. And he said, let me tell you how to grow good turnips. And he proceeded with that. And he told me about some turnips that he grew. And he said that he grew some turnips so big that he had to take his tractor to winch them out of the ground. You see what I mean? There's some folks, brethren, that in the world that's telling us things that God said that God never said.
That's right.
That God never said. And he went further with that. He said his cow got out and fell in the hole that the turnip was pulled out of. And then he went further with that. And he said, in order to get the cow out of that hole, he sat down on a stool and milked the cow and flooded the hole and she swam out. There are people in this world today that will tell you things of God that God never said. Yeah. That God put his power within, vested in his Son, who being the brightness of his glory. And the express image of his person.
Amen.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with him in the beginning. When you turn through the pages of Proverbs chapter 8, there's some scripture over there that I don't know if y'all will have or not, but I believe he's talking about the Son of God.
Yes.
He said, I was there with him as one brought up with him.
Yes. Amen.
I was there Amen. With him. And when the hills and the dust of the highest hills were laid, I was there. You see, this is talking about Christ Jesus the Lord, who hath ever been with the Father.
Amen.
Who hath ever been. I repeat, who hath ever been with the Father. He didn't just come into being when John said over here that we talk about, that we have seen the life that was manifested.
Yes.
And we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father.
Amen.
Simply because God said so, it come to pass.
Amen.
He spoke of the stars. The Bible said that he put them all out there and he sprinkled the heavens with it, as it were, with the fingers of his hand.
The work of his faith.
The Bible said he struck the anvil with the hammer and the sparks flew. These are stars that God put out there. And the Bible says, you know, around Christmas time they want to sell you a planet out yonder. Somewhere sell you one of those stars and they'll put your name up. How are you going to confirm that's yours? Didn't God say that when he had done all of that, he called them by name?
Yes, he did.
And said they all stood up together. They all stood up together. They never quit shouting. We got a telescope out there somewhere. I don't know where it is. They say it's out there and they found some stars that they had never seen. God knows where they were. As we examine these scriptures, our Lord had told us something about our condition. He says down here, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another.
Amen.
And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we say that we have no sin. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins,
amen.
If we confess our sins, He is just to forgive us our sins and can cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, he says in the beginning of the chapter 2, he says, little children, I write unto you that you sin not, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that? I don't know who your commonwealth attorney is up here. I know one of them passed me on the road yesterday. But the thing that this brings to pass, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Up in Patrick County, where I was raised in Virginia. I hadn't been to Tar Heel all my life, but where I was raised in Patrick County. And we had a judge up there named John D. Hooker. And thank God I never had to go before. But the thing I want you to see is what the scripture says about this man, Jesus Christ. And it said, he is the perpetuation. Definite article. Why couldn't he have just said a perpetuation? But the scripture said he is the perpetuation for our sins. And not ours only, but also for the whole world. In the original, this goes back to the covering on the Ark of the Covenant. You remember where the two cherubims that was made on that, and they turned their wings in such a manner, and their faces were towards the center of that covenant. That covenant was the ark that the Lord had endorsed. The one that He had given instructions on how that it would be built and made and what it was to be made out of. And then put those cherubims on there, and they were looking where? Where did God say that He would meet with them? Right on the mercy seat.
Amen.
That's where He said. He turned right in there. Jesus Christ is our perpetuation. And the Bible says again, listen to what He says in the scriptures that pertain to this in chapter 4. And verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son.
Amen.
Here's a man that's in between.
Amen.
Here's a man that's standing in the middle, if you will. And Lord, have mercy. He is in the midst. The Bible said that when He had led captivity captive, He gave gifts unto men, and what? Ascended on high, and He seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Henceforth, doing what? Making intercessions.
Amen.
For us. Brethren, nobody here can make that.
No.
There's some folks who claim they can, but they can't reach that point. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation. Right back up there, that same word, and over in Romans, one chapter over in Romans, he uses this word propitiation again. The love of God that surpasses all understanding, when He had His Son, sent Him into this world, and He sent Him to buy back the sheep. You say, well, that don't sound right, preacher. Well, let's examine it a little bit. Grocery store in Stuart, Virginia. When I was a little kid, the store issued green stamps when you bought groceries. The green stamps give you a little book, and you licked those green stamps and slapped them in that little booklet, and when you got the book full, you carried it back to the grocery, and they redeemed those stamps because they, it was theirs to start with. And they redeemed them back. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. All that the Father giveth me shall come. Every one of those that belong to the Father, Jesus Christ, said, I know them.
Right.
And they know me.
Amen.
What did Timothy write? Over in Timothy's writings, excuse me, what Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to the young preacher, and here's what he said, be not therefore ashamed of me, of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us.
Amen.
With a holy calling.
Right.
Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus. When did he give it to us? Before the world was. So whether it's 4 billion or 18 billion, God gave some to his son, and his son came into this world and gave his life a ransom. He redeemed, that is, he bought us back from this fallen state that we were found in Adam. The Bible says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive. There's two alls here. The Bible says, as in Adam all die. They say two things is for certain in this world, and that is death and taxes. Well, I'm going to say that taxes is a misnomer here. Because some folks don't pay any taxes. But we're all going to die if the Lord tarries. We're all going to die. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is manifest. That is, the Lord came. Now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death.
Amen.
And brought what? Life and immortality to what? Light.
Amen.
Through the gospel.
Right.
It's not the light that gets you to heaven, per se, like this light. But it is the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. It was his work. It was his redeeming power that he came into this world and delivered for us. Upholding all things by the word of his power. You know, if we didn't have a sure guarantee of what Christ did in this world, how would we have any hope of a better place beyond this veil of tears and sorrows? I look at the scriptures and find where that the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church over there in Corinth, he talked about the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ as we see and hear in this world today, the blessings of the Lord. And here's what he said about that gospel. In the scriptures, he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that what? Perish. Foolishness. Preaching of the cross, that is the gospel. You send a man out here and go to door and knock on people's doors and tell them you've got the gospel. Those folks in there, if they've never had a work of grace in their heart, they're not going to be able to receive what the man says. I don't care who he is.
Amen. Amen.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The power of God. As we look at those things, there's two in the latter part of this scripture. He makes some comments here that he said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block, but unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Remember over in Isaiah when God moved upon this man to write the book of Isaiah? And how many places Isaiah is quoted and how many places he was preached from in the New Testament. We find that the Lord talking about those things about the grace and the mercies of God. He said he looked and there was none to help. He wondered and there was none to uphold. He said, therefore, mine own arm hath gotten me salvation. Mine own arm hath gotten me salvation. The deliverance of the Holy Spirit of God that was in Isaiah. Isaiah talked further about that beautiful place that the Lord hath prepared, and he did it before the foundation of the world. Before the time was, he did it. He said in verse 27, he said, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. See, there's those folks that can't agree whether it was 4 billion or 18 billion. He's confounded the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, these things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And the base things of the world which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. He said that no flesh should glory in his presence.
Amen.
But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Amen.
And that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
To him be all power and glory and honor in the church, world without end. God bless you as I pray.
Amazing grace, how sweet the
sermons.
Amen.
Oh, I'd like to preach. Because
yeah.
I've enjoyed the preaching. It's good to have Brother Jamie and Brother Gunner and all these other preachers here. It's a blessing to have Brother Jamie and Brother Milton in our area.
Amen.
They're good brethren. They're Amen. Solid brethren, and I love them.
Amen.
They mean a lot to me. Of course, Brother Jamie, I've known him all his life, just about. We've known each other about all our lives. I saw him join the church. I've been with him. He's homegrown. I never have been his pastor, but I was the pastor of his mom. I'm the pastor of his brother and of his sister. And it's just good to have him as a brother and a pastor of Sister Church. It's just good to be here. There's some places I wouldn't want to be, but I'm glad I'm here. And Brother Gary, he's a wonderful pastor and preacher, he'll talk to you. He didn't let me go to bed to 1:30. But we got some things worked out.
Yeah, you straighten out.
But we agree. Amen. Maybe we have a different... Everybody has maybe a slightly different interpretation, but it all comes together and we believe the same thing.
Absolutely. Amen.
Fundamentally, we are alike. Amen. Basically, we agree. Amen. But it's a blessing. Oh, we just heard some good preaching. I don't know where to start. Brother Jamie preached on the fish that had the piece of money in its mouth to pay tribute, pay taxes. I'll tell you what, I believe I'd go fishing more if I thought I could catch a fish with my tax money and to pay my taxes. And then Brother Milton preached on the Word of God, the living Word,
Amen.
The Son of God, and His power. I've had thoughts this morning, and I want to begin in the Gospel according to Luke, or Mark, excuse me. We'll get to Luke, maybe. In chapter 16 of Mark, and I'll begin reading with verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen.
Amen.
As we look into this, we see where the Lord appears to his disciples, to his apostles, and for the last time here in this world. And he commands them to go into all the world. That is, no longer would the gospel be confined to the Israelites or to the Jews, in which it was basically when he was here in this world. He told them not to go unto the Samaritans or to the Gentiles. He said, don't go. But now he's telling them to go. You got to know when not to go and when to go. You got to rightly divide what he's telling them. Now, there are people that believe that the gospel is necessary to be preached in order for people to be regenerated. And without them hearing the gospel, they can't be regenerated and they can't go to heaven. That is, the gospel is necessary for people to go to heaven if they'll believe. And by their believing, that's what will put them in Christ. That is, the gospel is absolutely necessary to be preached in order for people to be saved for heaven and make the blood of Christ effective for them. But I'm telling you, the blood of Christ is effective for everyone that he died for, whether they hear it or not.
Right.
Right.
What he did upon the cross, he did it completely and perfectly, and he made the atonement for sin, and for all the sinners he died for, he saved.
Amen.
Whether they hear it or not. But it's very important and very valuable that God's people hear that.
Amen.
And therefore, the gospel is ordained of God. It's not of man. It's ordained of God for God's people, that they may be brought to believe in the work of Christ so they can rest. So he sends his apostles out to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the same commandment that he gave in Matthew to his apostles, to go into all the world, to all nations. He said in chapter 28 of Matthew, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He says, go and teach. But he didn't mean go right then, because he told them to tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power on high. So they were to wait for the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Comforter that empowered them to go.
Amen.
You see, a lot of people don't understand the different work of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit, in working regeneration, he doesn't need the gospel. He does that alone by himself, upon whom he will, without their will. And he does that work perfectly.
Amen.
He does that work without any preaching from the preacher. But then there is the Holy Comforter in his role of assisting and teaching and guiding and leading. Now, a lot of people lump that all together, but you got to separate the role of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I said, there is his work of regenerating or quickening. And then there is his work of teaching and leading and guiding and comforting through his word. So the Holy Ghost came upon them in great power. This was a new era, yes, new day, you know. And therefore, he blessed them at the day of Pentecost. And we find this is where that it started. In Jerusalem, with the church, and with those that were gathered together there, and they preached the gospel. And then the Lord opened it up. He didn't open it up all at once, but in his own time, he opened it up for them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To those that, wherever that he led them and opened up the door, they were to preach the gospel. And that's what they did. And he says, he that believeth. All right. Well, now we got to find out who the believer is. Now the believer is a person that is a child of God that has the ability to believe.
Amen.
Now, some people say that anybody can believe. Well, they're wrong.
That's right.
Because only the born-again person has the power and the capacity to believe.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Amen.
You see, the world of Christendom has it backward. They say you got to believe in order to be born. No, you got to be born in order to believe.
Amen.
But when the gospel is preached, and that child of God believes, and believe is active,
yes,
he is actively putting his belief, his faith, his trust in Jesus Christ, in that which Christ has accomplished for him. He believes in the death of Christ. He believes that Christ put my sins away. He believes that he died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Now that's what they preached as they went out into the world. And they went out into the world preaching Christ. Amen. I mean, he was the theme. He was the sum and the substance of what they preached.
Amen.
And he that believeth, all right, he that believeth, that is the child of God that believes the gospel and is baptized, shall be saved.
Yes.
Now, the believing and the baptism is necessary for the salvation. That's what it says. That's what Jesus said. Now, somebody will say, well, that's talking about eternal deliverance or eternal salvation. Well, if it is, it won't hold water. Because there's some people tell us that, you get it in the water. That's where you touch the blood of Jesus Christ, is when you believe and you're baptized in water, you are regenerated. And really, they don't believe that. They say that's eternal. Well, then they'll turn around and say, in backslide, and lose it. See, won't hold water. Those water dogs won't hold water, will they? But anyway, he that believeth and is baptized is talking about the child of God that believes in Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He died upon the cross for me. He arose from the dead for me. And if you act upon that, you'll be delivered. If you're baptized in water. Now, baptism is very important. I mean, it's not just something to make the Bible a thick book in the New Testament. It's very important for the believing child of God to be baptized.
Absolutely.
To be delivered. Not saved for heaven, not saved from hell, but it saves the child of God. It doesn't wash away the filth of the flesh. Baptism doth now save us. Peter says it now saves us. It's a now salvation. It's a gospel deliverance for the child of God as he acts upon that which he believes, and he's baptized in water, and it's a picture or a figure of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And also, it's a picture that that child of God has died to this world, and now he's walking in the newness of life as he rises to walk with Christ. He is showing to the world, he's showing of his faith in Christ that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died for me. He put my sins away. And he arose from the dead for me. He is alive for me. He's at the right hand of God for me. I'm thankful that he lives for me. Baptism doth also now save us. Some people say, well, I believe. But have they been baptized? If you believe, you need to be baptized.
Amen.
Baptism is very important for the child of God. It's an access into the kingdom of heaven here in this life, in this world. It's, baptism, the mode of baptism is to have enough water to bury a person. Right. That is to put him underneath.
Sure.
I like to hold them under a little while anyway. You know. They'll quit breathing. It's a picture of death, isn't it? Well, I don't want to hold them up where, you know, they'll drown. But you hold them. And you want to get them under. You get them under. And you raise them up.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was baptized. Now, it doesn't matter if you got a creek, you got a pond, you got a river, or you got a baptistry. Just enough water to immerse that person underneath, that believer, that child of God that believes, and raise them out. It's a picture of the resurrection, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Jesus arose from the dead.
Amen.
Now, those that are baptized, they are to walk in the newness of life. You can't walk in a life you don't have.
Right.
But you are exhibiting by walking in that life in Christ. You're walking in that. Baptism is the ordinance of God Amen. To the church. Amen. It is the authority that God has given to the church. And you got to have the authority to baptize.
Amen. That's exactly right.
You know, that's a hang up some of God's people that come to the old Baptists and they say, well, I believe in grace now, but I've been baptized. No, they have not. They just got wet. Because they had no authority. The one who baptized them had no authority. You see, Jesus gave the authority.
Amen.
The apostles had the authority. And those from the church of Jesus, the church of God, had the authority. Those called of God and ordained and called and ordained have the authority to baptize.
Amen.
And it's from the church.
Amen.
Baptizing children of God who believe. I like to baptize people
yeah.
that believe.
Amen.
Now, if they don't believe, I don't want to baptize them. If they don't endorse what we have, I don't want to baptize them. In fact, I'm not going to baptize them.
Right.
What is the qualification? What's the first qualification? Of course, we know they got to be born of God, and that's His work. But if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.
Right.
I believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Do you have to understand everything before you're baptized? No.
Couldn't be.
Yeah. But if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe that He died upon the cross, and He rose from the dead, and He's the Savior,
Amen.
You're qualified. And you repent from your sins. I remember when I was baptized. Seemed like it was yesterday, and I was 13 years old. I won't forget that unless I lose my mind. But if I lose my mind, I'll still be baptized. But I remember that day. The lake down there by the church. There's five baptized that day. But I can remember the feeling in my soul when the pastor took me out in the water and he put me underneath and brought me up. I'll tell you, there was a joy that I experienced. I believe it was deliverance. It was a deliverance for me as a child of grace, believing in the Lord Jesus, that now I have followed the Lord in baptism. Some people say, well, it's not necessary. It's not important. I can come to the old Baptist church. I can enjoy the church. And I don't have to be baptized. Well, you can enjoy some things, but I tell you what, you got to get in it. And I've had people tell me, so that I baptized, why didn't you tell me is this good? I said, I've been trying to. You don't experience it until you do it.
Amen.
You don't. They went out and baptized all the believers. They taught. They taught and made disciples. The gospel is to make disciples out of God's children. It doesn't make God's children. It makes children of God disciples.
Amen.
Children of God need to become disciples, that is, followers and learners
Amen.
Of the truth.
Amen.
And walk in the truth and live in the truth and stand for the truth and uphold the truth, because we have a cause that's the greatest here in this world. Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. He's the Savior of the church. He is the all in all. Without Him, we'd have nothing. We'd be nothing without Him. The old Baptists have the best.
Amen.
We're the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hid. I want every child of God to enjoy the blessings of the church.
Amen.
If they will submit to it, if they will take heed to it, we're not going to let down the standard for anybody. They're going to have to submit to that which the Word of God sets forth, that which is taught in the Bible. Amen. That which is delivered to the child of God, he needs to submit to it and be obedient. Amen. To the command of God. Amen. To the command of the Lord Jesus. Arise, take up thy cross and follow me. Amen. There's a cross for the child of God to bear here in this world.
Amen.
And he has to leave some things behind. Leave father and mother and brother and sister and wife and children, or you cannot be my disciple. He's not saying you can't be a child of God. He's talking about discipleship when he's talking about leaving things behind. You got to leave this world behind. You got to put the kingdom of God first. You got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He'll take care of whatever it is. But if there's anything that is hindering you from obeying the Lord, you need to tear it out and cast it away. You need to, that goes for all of us, preachers, deacons, church members. The church is the highest ecclesiastical order here in this world. She is the prize of Jesus Christ. She is the beloved of God. She is that which shines forth in this world. You know, I want the church to be prosperous in the Spirit. I want her to grow in grace and knowledge. And I want her to grow. I want God's children to come in to the church and be with us and have this joy. It's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. It's in Christ, isn't it? Without Christ, where would we be? And without the church, thank God that there is a church in this area where you can come out of this old world that is filled with sin and people in this world and Satan who harasses us. The world is in opposition to the church, and the church is an enemy to this world, and the world is our enemy. The church of Jesus Christ is in hostile territory. As long as we live in this world is not our friend. She is the light of this world. Because Christ is in her.
Amen.
In us.
Amen.
She's our light. What would we do without the church? Where would I be in my life without the people of God in the church? Don't tell me that she doesn't have a saving influence for God's people. She sure does. It doesn't matter if you're 6 or 60, 9 or 90. You are to be a faithful disciple by the help of God and leaning upon Him. If you have something in your life that is hindering you from being in the house of God and being faithful, you need to get rid of it.
Amen.
You need to tear it from its throne.
Right.
Something I like to do. Something that gives me fleshly pleasure, you know. That may not be bad within itself, but you can make it bad if you put that in front of the church, and you're attending the church and your participation in the church. You see, the preacher's not the only one that participates. You are the participants. He's just the newsboy saying, read all about it. You know, he's just the newsboy. And he's not up preaching for his health. I mean, to make himself a name. He's preaching in the name of Jesus and exalting His name to feed you and to strengthen you and to move you and motivate you and stimulate you. This is God's stimulus package for the church, the gospel, and it will work.
Amen. Absolutely.
a stimulus package of men. It don't work. But it stimulates you, moves you. I tell you what, I wish I could preach. I really do. I wish I could preach and make the Lord's people see the importance and the value of it.
Amen.
We're living in dark times. We're living in hostile territory. But that doesn't mean we throw up our hands.
No.
Because help is on the way.
Amen.
Help's on the way. He's coming.
Amen.
Let us hold faithful until He comes. Let us move forward until He comes. He built the church. He's keeping the church. There is a sense in which He absolutely will have a witness here in this world.
Amen.
When He comes again. But I want it to be everywhere that it is right now and other places where it may not be.
Amen.
We sometimes as primitive Baptists have shut our mouths and said if God wants them, He'll drag them in. Well, that's not the way it is. Yeah, God adds to the church, but how does He do it? By sowing the seed, He adds to the church.
Amen.
You see,
amen.
If you don't plant the garden, if you don't sow the seed, you won't have one. But it says that God was with them. You know, God has to be with us. And I believe if He's with us in His Holy Comforter, in His Spirit, I tell you, we're dangerous. Old Baptist preacher's dangerous when he's in the Spirit. I mean, you can't shut him up. God's people are, and I want to say this, I don't want you to misunderstand me. We are to be aggressive, but not harsh. But what? We got it. We have the truth. Thank God He's given it to us. We have a gift that's not in, that the world doesn't have. We have a gift in earthen vessels. Thank God that we have been blessed to hear and understand and obey the gospel. I'm glad I don't have to lay down at night and wonder about souls going to hell. I'm glad I don't have to have that burden of family. I'm afraid they're going to hell. Or trying to get people to heaven. I'm glad I don't have that burden. That Jesus did that.
Amen.
But I do have a burden for God's people to understand and know that and rest in that. Rest for your souls.
Amen.
There remaineth a rest for the people of God that believe and enter into it.
Amen.
May we hold fast the profession of our faith. May we be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Let us move forward in this world. The church is a joyful place.
Amen.
Because it's where Christ is preached, where He dwells. He lives in us. We're making history today. We're making history. We look back in the history of the church. She's been through peril and tribulation, but she's come through thus far. Lord, help us to overcome, and by faith we can overcome this world. May God uphold us to lift the banner up high of Christ Jesus, that the Lord's little children might come and rest with us in Christ until the Lord returns. I don't know when He's coming. Nobody knows that, but I know He is.
He's coming.
You can put a period after that.
Amen.
He's coming.
Amen.
May we be looking for Him. And how are we looking for Him? Let's be faithful and ask the Lord for power. Because He is a God that has all power. And we can triumph in Him. It's not physical. It's not natural. It's spiritual. the church is a garden enclosed, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. It's a garden. And let's keep it. Every member has responsibility. Amen. Somebody always points to somebody else. The church, your responsibility begins with you. And my responsibility begins with me. We all have responsibility and obligation to do what the Lord would have us to do. What would you have me to do, Lord? What about that person over there? Will you look, it's you. Look at yourself. What would the Lord have me to do?
Amen.
And you may influence others to be stronger in the Lord.
Amen.
May God bless you with these thoughts.
Bless your heart. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain. Do you know what number that is? God bless you. Oh, Christ, He is the fountain. 194. Gospel has been declared this morning. The Lord has truly been with these brethren as He stood before us and with those hearing. Hearing comes from the Lord. We give Him the praise and the glory. Preaching comes from the Lord. We give Him the glory and the praise for that. There would be one more here who have a desire to take up the cross and follow your Lord in baptism. As we have heard so declared from the Word of God, you let your feelings be made known. Desire to unite with this church and your sister churches represented. We're going to stand and sing 194. Christ, He is the fountain. We do publish open doors of the church as the Lord will lead and direct.
Oh, Christ, He is the fountain.